Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
My name is Andy. And it is really, really, really good to be here at Miracle Camp. It's actually not my first time at Miracle Camp. My first time at Miracle Camp was in 1993. No, that's not. 1997. And I came and I had the staff t-shirt on for a summer. So I was a cabin leader in Judson. Where my Judson guy? So it is really good to be back in a different role. Let's see, where are we at? Here we go.
Where are we at? Miracle Camp!
Yeah, yeah, well, here we go.
I was thinking, Andy, if I was a camper, where would I have lived if I had been a camper at Miracle Camp?
Chug one, baby. I think you might have lived. I'm not sure, Greg. You might have lived in Miracle or in Judson. You might have lived in Hickory.
Yeah.
Okay, but you definitely wouldn't have lived in
Evergreen.
You wouldn't have lived in Evergreen.
So,
or Woodlands. Yeah, that's true. Okay. Here we go. So we wanted to introduce ourselves just briefly. Greg and I are going to be here all week. We're going to be sharing this speaking role. We're going to be up here together a lot. We're going to do it separately some. So we're super, super excited to be here with you. I work at Taylor University in Upland, Indiana. Some of you also. So we live. I live in Upland. And Greg. So, Greg has done a lot of this. Greg is a pastor, right?
Yeah, so, cool story is that when I was your age in camp, one day it became very clear that God was calling me and my life to live for Him. And that is not a call that gets stuck to a pastor or a pilot or a doctor or a lawyer. It's just a call for a Christian. Because you have to decide what you're going to do with your life. So, to me, I love camp because it's one of those places that we make big decisions.
Well, and when I was 13 years old, I was not at this camp, but I was at another camp, and that's where I came to know Jesus Christ. I was raised in a home where Jesus was made much of, but I wasn't making much of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit grabbed hold of my life, and I've never been the same since. So, we're about camp. We love camp because we know that when you come expectant, when you come ready, and even when you come not there, and you say, Lord, I'm not sure I'm ready, I'm not sure I'm expectant, but I'm at camp for a week, so do what you're going to do. The Lord shows up. The Lord has actually been here before you got here, and He's been working, and He's been preparing this place for you and preparing the things that we're going to share with you. So,
and
just
particularly going into Colossians, this is going to be great for us. You're going to get to meet our family, but we're going to a place that you're going to really enjoy.
Yeah. So this is my family. I have 6 kids. Some of you know some of these kids because one of them is here, and actually a couple of them are here. So you'll see my youngest son Nathan. He's assisting Greg and I this week. He's walking around with us. My daughter Lucy is here. She's camping with us this week. Then my next son up is, or my next daughter up is Molly. Molly has camped here at Miracle Camp a number of times. She's working at another camp this summer. Thank you. That's the right response. I think that's the right response. Yeah, that's kind of how I felt a little bit. Matthew was lifeguard last summer here at Miracle Camp. Yeah. Matty G, fan favorite. I'll let him know that you said that. Okay, appreciate that. My son Caleb just graduated from Taylor. Matt's at Taylor. Molly, you'll be at Taylor. Caleb just graduated from Taylor this fall, this spring. And Ben, our oldest son, lives in Minnesota. He is working at a bank up there. And then my wife, Amanda, you'll see her. We met at Taylor University 25 years ago. She was the most important thing I took from Taylor University. This week is a really, really important week for us. We will celebrate our 25th wedding anniversary this week. Yeah. So. And I'll reference this a number of times throughout this week, but the Lord has used nothing more in my life to point me to Jesus and to make me more like him than my relationship with Amanda. So, yeah, that's the idea, right?
Yeah.
Greg, tell us about these people.
This is my family. Let me introduce you to my family. So this was a big day that was going on. Of course, our daughter was getting married, and she's actually wearing the dress that she made for the wedding. So her name is Jessica, and Jessica is a sign language interpreter, and so she really enjoys communicating, and one of the blessings that we really enjoyed was watching her come to places just like this, and to worship was going on, interpret that with American Sign Language, so pretty cool. Her husband is a professor at another university, actually at a seminary, and so we're pretty excited. Daniel was really excited and incredible and loved the Lord and has been writing books, so that's another kind of connection that we have together. He likes to write books, I like to read them. And then next to him is myself. On the other side of me is our middle daughter, Miranda, and Miranda, who is an art teacher. Miranda lives in Fort Wayne as well. And then on the far side is the tallest person in the group, and our youngest daughter, Michaela. And Michaela is a videographer, so pretty excited with that. And then the most important person in the group is my wife, Gina. And this summer, we celebrate 39 years of marriage. Has two other things that she really enjoys doing, so we put those on the screen for her tonight because she's in the house tonight. So one is that she loves gardening, so that's one of the sunflowers out of our garden. And the other picture is some artwork that she does because she loves doing art. So if you see Gina and she's got a sketch pen in her hand, probably she's doing something like that.
Gina, is that a photograph or is that a painting? Oh, wow, that's awesome. That's beautiful. That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, Greg and Gina, we put them in their room today. It does not look like Judson. I'll just say that. It's a beautiful view right out to the lake. So it's a different view. In a different scent, actually, when I walked in. So you'll hear more from Greg, but we're going to get into God's word. Let me pray, and we'll read some scripture and get after things. Father in heaven, I thank you for this time. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be pleasing and acceptable in your heart. Would you open our eyes that we may see wondrous things in your word? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. That's how Paul, in the book of Colossians, greets the church in Colossae. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. Paul has lots of things to say, but I want to put the book of Colossians in some sort of context. So a little bit about my growing up. Like many of you, I grew up in the church. I loved Jesus. I loved going to church. Camp was something that I loved. I did camp from the time I was third, fourth grade, until they told me to stop coming. Not true. I got married and didn't do it as much. But camp was important to me. Youth group was important to me. God's word was important to me. I wanted to serve Jesus Christ with everything that I could. But there were often times that I had a hard time figuring out what all of it meant, to be honest. When I was growing up, and I think this has changed a little bit in the church, but not completely, God's word I was often asked, did you do your devotions? Now that's been shortened to devos, right? Because we're cooler now. So did you do your devos? And for me, that often meant a book where there was one line of scripture and then a whole page of somebody else's thoughts about that one line of scripture. Do you know those books? Yeah, okay. So you know the books I'm talking about. And that really, to me, wasn't all that helpful growing up. And to be honest, it was past college where I started to really figure out. I remember people saying, this is God's love letter to you, and God's going to show you how he wants. This is God's instruction book for your life, things like that. And I was like, And then after college, I went to this place and really felt like I was learning more about what God's word was really about. And I found, now I didn't find these, somebody gave me these four words: creation, fall, redemption, and consummation. So I usually teach second graders, so I have some hand motions, okay? So creation, we go like this, it's like a tree, okay? Creation, fall, redemption, and consummation. This is the story of redemption. This is the story of God's word. This is a story that's about God. It's not about me. It's about God and what he's doing. If it's about us at all, it's how God is entering our space and affecting history. So let's do that together. You can say these words with me, okay? Creation, fall, redemption, in consummation. So I have to explain creation. We're familiar with that. God created the world in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. And what did he say about it? He said it was very good. Not just good, he said it was very good. And then sin entered the world through Adam. That's the fall, right? And we're all dealing with the ramifications every day. We are living in a world that is broken. Paul says in Romans that the creation is groaning in expectancy of this final redemption and consummation. So, God wasn't like, oh no, gosh, what's happened? No, he knew this was happening. This was a part of his plan. And so in Genesis 3:15, he gives this, he says, I'm going to send somebody that's going to crush the head of the snake. I'm going to redeem this. This is part of where I'm headed. And so redemption happened when Jesus Christ lived a perfect life and gave himself up as a perfect offering to pay for the sin that you and I do and the brokenness in our world. And that's it. That everything's great, right? No, we live in this already but not yet space. We live in this space where it's like, yes, we have victory, but not a total victory. Yes, we're sons and daughters, but we're waiting for our final adoption as sons and daughters. This time in between, redemption and consummation. Can you put your crown on? It's not your crown, it's Jesus' crown. That's what we're finally waiting, where Jesus comes back, not as a baby, but as a king on a white horse, and finally, once and for all, banishes Satan and his demons to hell forever and brings us to reign with him on a new heaven and new earth. That's what we're going to be talking about all week. That's the context in which Paul writes this letter. So let's talk about that. So the gospel bears fruit. That's where we're headed tonight. And just some introductory comments about Paul. This is what the robots told me Paul looked like. Paul of Tarsus. Greg and I were talking about earlier. So first of all, what was Paul's job before he met Jesus? He's a priest, yep. He was a Pharisee. And on the spectrum of maybe not all that into this whole thing and ultra-religious, Paul was way, way over here, right? He describes himself as so zealous that he was going to kill people. He was going to throw them in prison, and he was going to kill people. He was that serious about his faith. He was wrong, but he was serious about it. Some of you are, maybe you're not Paul. You're over here and you're kind of like, yeah, I don't know. And then some of you are like, no, this is big time. I'm ready for this. I'm serious about this whole Christianity thing. And that's where Paul was. And then, but he was wrong, right? He was so wrong that Jesus didn't argue him into the kingdom. He didn't apologetics him into the kingdom. He, from heaven, gave him a vision, knocked him off down on the ground, and blinded him. Hopefully, that's not where we have to be to hear from the Lord, right? Hopefully, that's not how hard our hearts are. But that's where Paul was at. And Jesus, in his grace and mercy, entered his story and, man, blew him up and forever, right? So, Paul becomes an apostle. He said, an apostle, he was the last apostle because Jesus had already been raised to the Father, and then Paul saw him. That's pretty cool, right? So John and Peter and Andrew, they were apostles, but they spent 3 years with Jesus, and Paul probably just spent a few minutes in that vision on the road to Damascus, and that was his apostleship. He saw other visions, and he talks about those in his other letters. So Paul writes this letter to a church in Colossae, an epistle, this is a letter, to a church in Colossae. We'll talk a little bit about what he wrote it for and why he wrote it. But Colossae, anybody know where Colossae is? Well, I'm going to show you. It's in what is now Turkey. So you can see you've got this, it's right here. Well, my arrow's here, but it's actually right here. It's Colossae. A couple other spots that you might have heard about. Here's Ephesus. We'll talk about Ephesus and Colossae. This is a 43-hour walk from Ephesus to Colossae, so about a 3 or 4 day journey, but close. So this is maybe just a little bit of, this is where that is in the greater world, so you can see Turkey. Where are we? We're kind of over here, right? Does that make sense? You're seeing, getting a feel for where this is? Okay, good. So Paul writes this letter. Paul was in prison. Most people believe that Paul was in prison in Rome, and he writes this letter. What's cool about this? So let's go here. So there's this guy named Epaphras who's kind of on Paul's team. How did he get on Paul's team? One of the things that has been fun for me to do as I've been studying the book of Colossians is to think about Paul's team. And we'll talk about that more throughout the week. But that Paul wasn't just a apostle who, no, he had all these other people that were part of his team that were helping him along the journey, helping him to do these churches, to start these churches, to then they'd stay, like Timothy would stay in this spot, or you know, John Mark would go this way, and they were a team working together. So one of the guys on his team, his name is Epaphras, and he was a Colossian. So they think that he heard the gospel in Ephesus. Here we go. Sorry, I'm in your way. There we go. So they think they heard that he hears the gospel in Ephesus, comes to know Jesus, and what happens when you get it, when you come to know Jesus? Ideally, you want to tell people about it, right? So he goes back to Colossae, tells people about Jesus, and starts a church. So they start this church in Colossae, and everything's going great. Church is going well. But then Epaphras gets put in prison with Paul. And Epaphras is like, gosh, Paul, you'll never believe. We've got some problems in Colossae. This is what's going on with the church. And then Paul writes this letter, okay? That's the idea. So I said 62 AD, Christ dies in like 33 AD. So this is pretty recent. In the lifetime of the apostles, but not one of Paul's first churches that he planted. Most people believe that he never was there, that Paul never went to Colossae. But this was a place that was really important to his friend Epaphras. And so Paul writes this letter to address some problems in the church in Colossae. Oh, I love this too. So we talked about a team. So he probably wrote this when he was in prison, and he wrote Ephesians and Philemon at the same time, and because they're all delivered by Tychicus. These are words. Anybody named Tychicus in the room tonight? Yeah, it's so some of these names I might not get quite right. Some of your names I might not get quite right either, like Sir Lance sometimes, Sir.
Yeah.
Did I get that right? I nailed it. Okay, thank you. Well, maybe I'm nailing Tychicus too. So so he sends these letters. So it's kind of like, hey, I'm in prison. I'm writing these letters. Okay, well, Epaphras can't take them because he's in prison too. Tychicus, can you take these? So Tychicus takes a letter to the Ephesians, to the Colossians, and then also delivers a letter to Philemon. Onesimus is a freed slave. He's mentioned in the book of Philemon. Philemon is really about Onesimus. But it's so fun to, as you're getting into all of Scripture, to be like, whoa, there are lots of connections, right? Are there things that God wants you to learn about yourself in Scripture? 100%, right? 100%. But this is not a book about you. This is a book for you. And how cool is it that 2,000 or so years ago, Paul writes a letter, he sends it off with this guy, and we get to read it. And he says, actually, this is in the last chapter, he says, once you read this letter, have him read the letter to the Laodiceans too. Do you have the book of Laodicea in your Bible? I don't. Wouldn't that have been cool? But apparently we didn't need the book of Laodicea. We needed the book of Colossians, and so the book of Laodicea, the letter to the Laodiceans, isn't in our Scripture. But there are some themes that we're going to talk a little bit about throughout this week. This is what they call an occasional letter. So something prompted this letter. Like I said, Epaphras is in prison with Paul, and he says, hey, there are some problems in Colossae. And they're talking about it, and Paul says, well, I need to write them, and we need to address these issues. So people aren't really exactly sure what the main problem was, because he doesn't like outline, like, okay, here was a problem, this is how you should deal with it. But he does reference some things. So these will be themes that we'll talk about. Legalism, asceticism. Asceticism is like fasting usually is associated with asceticism. Not doing things, that's usually asceticism. Judaizers, so people that were Jewish, and they said, hey, to be a Christian, you have to continue on the Old Testament law. Those are all, that's Judaizers. That's a problem through Galatians and other books that Paul is writing about. And then he talks about the worship of angels. You know, this is all sorts of things going on. What most people are talking about is that this is a problem of syncretism. Can you say that word with me? Syncretism. So syncretism, we have syncretism in our day-to-day, but syncretism is Jesus and. Jesus and this, Jesus and that, Jesus and this. I was on a trip in Guatemala, and it was, I think, the spot that I had seen syncretism most in my face. And we went into this little room, and there was an idol, a big guy, and they're offering tobacco to him, and next to the big idol was a crucifix of Christ. Because they kind of like, hey, let's check them all. You know, let's make sure we don't get anybody upset at us. And so that's syncretism. And that's at least probably the problem that they're talking about. So another theme is doctrine and practice. So doctrine is what we believe. Practice is how we live our lives, right? So Paul, the book of Colossians is divided almost in half. He spends the first two chapters talking about doctrine. And then the last two chapters he spends talking about practice. But it's all weaving throughout, doctrine and practice. What you believe better affect how you live your life, or you don't really believe it, right? So doctrine and practice. This was our pastor popped this graphic up a couple weeks ago, and this was one that shows up at our church often. So in other words, there are the three sides of the triangle: the Bible, what we know of God's word, theology, doctrine, what we believe, how the systems, how we understand God's word and who he is, but then practice as well, how we live our lives. So if only two of these, or even one of these, you might know the Bible. I worked at the University of Minnesota, and there was an Old Testament, New Testament department at the University of Minnesota. Those men and women knew God's word like crazy, but some of them didn't really believe it, and they oftentimes weren't practicing it. You might have all your beliefs together. You might know God's word, but if you're living like hell, that doesn't really work, right? Then the question is, do these things really affect who you are? So doctrine and practice. We'll talk a lot about that this week as well. And then maybe the last theme that we'll hit this week is justification and sanctification. And I won't dig into that too much tonight because we'll spend a lot of time there. So let's read this scripture for tonight. Oh, and then for some reason that's red. Oh, that's just our screen. We know about that. In Christology, so what we believe about Jesus, there are kind of these three main themes, like Christ is preeminent, the gospel, and then living a life worthy of the gospel. Those are kind of the three things that we'll talk about. So pull your Bible out. That's our introduction. Everybody up to speed? We feel like we know Colossians. We're ready to roll. Good. This is our scripture for tonight. Colossians 1:1-8. Paul, an apostle of... let me say this just about versions, because we're all from different churches, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to read out of the ESV. We're going to memorize some scripture together, and we're going to do it out of the ESV. That's whatever. You know what I'm saying? Let's open our Bibles and let's spend time in God's Word. And your Bible might be just a little bit different than mine. As long as it's open and you've got your face in it, that's really what I'm most excited about, right? If it's not exactly the words that I'm going to say or that Greg's going to say, we'll probably memorize it in the scripture, because the song that my kids are embarrassed that we're going to work on is in the ESV. So here we go. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Greg's going to come up, and the most important piece in this scripture passage is this. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel. So, what is it? What's the gospel? So Greg's going to roll it out for us.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.